Good morning and welcome. I invite you to mute as we sing our opening hymn number 441, In the Cross of Christ. Ellie, we can't hear you. Ellie? We can't hear you. We'll now sing together our opening hymn number 441, In the Cross of Christ.
Are you talking to me?
Ellie, everything okay?
Can't hear you.
Can others hear me? Can you lift your thumbs if you can hear me? Yes.
I can't hear you. Lynn, can you hear me? I can't hear you.
I'm here.
I have no sound.
Welcome to Zoom, folks. Welcome to Zoom.
I can hear you, Lynn, but we can't hear the singing.
Right. Ellie can't hear me. Hopefully we can hear her.
Glory, sovereign.
Service continues with the confession on page 41 in the Book of Common Prayer or in your handout. Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at his hands, to set forth his most worthy praise, to hear his holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and our salvation. And so that we may prepare ourselves in heart and mind to worship him, let us kneel in silence and with penitent and obedient heart confess our sins, that we may obtain forgiveness by his infinite goodness and mercy. Almighty and most merciful Father,
Spare those who confess their faults. Restore those who are penitent according to thy promise, in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter have a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name.
Amen.
The Almighty and merciful Lord grant you absolution, remission of all your sins, true repentance, amendment of life, and the grace and consolation of his Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O Lord, open thou our lips,
and our mouth shall show forth thy praise.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
We will say together Psalm 51, found in your handout, or on the book in the Book of Common Prayer, page 656. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness.
In your great compassion, blot out my offenses.
Wash me through and through from my wickedness.
And cleanse me from my sin.
For I know my transgressions.
And my sin is ever before me.
Against you only have I sinned.
And done what is evil in your sight.
And so you are justified when you speak.
And upright in your judgment.
Indeed, I have been wicked from my birth.
A sinner from my womb.
For behold, you look for truth deep within me.
And will make me understand wisdom secretly.
Purge me from my sin, and I shall be pure.
Wash me, and I shall be clean indeed.
Make me hear of joy and gladness.
That the body of broken may rejoice.
Hide your face from my sins.
And blot out all my iniquities.
Create in me a clean heart, O God.
And renew a right spirit within me.
Cast me not away from your presence.
And take not your Holy Spirit from me.
Give me the joy of your saving help again.
And sustain me with your bountiful spirit.
A reading from Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us say together Canticle 14, a song of penitence, found in the Book of Common Prayer on page 90 or in your booklet. O Lord and ruler of the hosts of heaven, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and of all your righteous offspring, you made the heavens and the earth and all their vast array. All things quake with fear at your presence. They tremble because of your power. But your merciful promise beyond all measure. It surpasses all that our minds can fathom. O Lord, you are full of compassion, long suffering, and abounding in mercy. You hold back your hand, do not punish us, Jesus, for you deserve to be served. In your great goodness, Lord, you have promised to forgive us for sinners, and they may repent of their sin and say, and now, O Lord, I have sinned, and I know my wickedness only too well.
Therefore, I make this prayer to you. Forgive me, Lord, for you are condemned to the depths of the earth. For you, O Lord, are the God of those who repent.
And in me you will show forth goodness, unworthy as I am, save you, in accordance with your great mercy, and I will praise you with the ceasing days of my life, all the powers of heaven, all the glories of ages of ages. Amen.
Glory to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
The second reading is from Hebrews 5. Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please mute as we now sing the sequence hymn number 474, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
Thank you. Holy Gospel according to St. John, 12th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, he wished to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus, and Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Great day to you, not a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. If it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and which they say, will it save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." And a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, now glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said to the son of the there. Father said, an angel has spoken to him. He answered, "This voice is for your sake and mine. Now the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out, and then when I lift it up from the earth, I will draw it to myself. I will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So when my kids were in grade school, I had two daughters, and the next door neighbor had three sons about the same age. And so it made just one huge backyard where they were out almost all day, every day. And as you can imagine, we made lots of trips to the emergency room, lots of adventurous kids. And that mom was really squeamish, even though she had three boys. So one afternoon she ran over to my house and she's saying, "Lynn, you've got to come quick. Lynn, you've got to come quick." The boys were playing in the backyard with fishing rods. And as I run over there, one of the boys has his eye covered and he's screaming and howling. And as I came up to him and I said, "Can you take your hand so I can see your eye?" And he said, "No." Well, the way he was screaming and wailing, which he usually didn't do, told me that he was probably really hurt. And I said, "Well, let's go to the emergency room." As we imagined what was under that hand, we were all filled with dread. And I think that's the way that many of us feel when we are filled with loneliness or fear or shame. We want to cover it up. We want to hide it. And even more so when we know that we are filled with sin, when we know we've messed up, when we know we've made a big error, we like to cover it up. We want to fix it ourselves. We basically want it to just go away. But if it can't be fixed by ourselves, we sweep it under the carpet. One of the hardest things to do is to just let it out and say, "This is what I've done. This is what's going on. This is how I am hurt." We don't like to do that, but it reminds me today of Psalm 51. As we know, David messed up, King David messed up royally, like in a big way. Not only was he an adulterer, but he had the husband killed to cover it up, to hide it in shame. And so he calls out in desperation. He has recognized finally the graveness of his sin. And he calls out to the Lord and he starts 51:1, the psalm that we read today. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness. In your great compassion, blot out my offenses." He starts out, "Have mercy on me, according to your loving kindness." And that's the Jewish word hesed. And it's a word we don't have the comparable in English. It's loving kindness, it's steadfast love, it's abundant mercy, and it's according to the covenant that God made with us. The promise, but more than a promise, the covenant that God made that he would never, ever, ever stop loving us and showing mercy when we turn to him. And so the psalmist is calling on God, you made this promise, please come to me and help me. And so at the same time, he knows that he's messed up, seriously messed up. And so he's saying, Lord, do not hide your face from me. Do not turn from me. Do not abandon me or leave me. Hide not your face from me. Because that's our biggest fear, that when people know what's deep, dark down inside of us, they'll turn away, they'll leave us, they'll abandon us. And the psalmist is crying out, Lord, look at me, see me, know me, touch me, heal me. Calling out, crying out in desperation. And then in verse 4, he says, against you only have I sinned. Now, we know that it was not against God only. He knew that he had hurt the entire nation. But he was also acknowledging that when we sin, we are sinning against God. We are breaking that covenant. We are betraying God's love for us. And so he is acknowledging that. And he says, wash me through and through. Give me a clean heart. And in Leviticus, they used to talk about when you were sick or any other way that you were out of alignment with the community and with God, you would be washed with hyssop. And once you were washed with hyssop, then you could rejoin the community. That whatever was wrong with you, whether it was leprosy or whether you had done something horrible, you were then washed clean. And he asks for a clean heart. Clean my heart. Open my heart. Make it open again. The psalmist is calling out for that restored relationship, for that hope, in the knowledge that yes, God will do that when we turn to God, even when we've messed up so much that we think that it can't be fixed. We are in the season of Lent, and this is Lent 5. Next week, I can't believe it already, is Palm Sunday. This is the opportunity for us, the time for us to be saying, let me just open my heart to God. Let me be willing to let God in, to cleanse every little bit of brokenness within me. And that's where we turn to Jeremiah, which we heard today. If you remember a couple of weeks ago, we heard Jeremiah. He was called when he was a young boy, and he was sent down to the potter's shed. And the potter was making a piece of pottery, but it was damaged, flawed. And so the potter scraped it off, smashed it down, started over again to make a beautiful object. And God said to Jeremiah, I can do that with my people when they are damaged or flawed. I can renew them. I can scrape it off, reshape it so that they can be made beautiful. And all throughout Jeremiah, Jeremiah is telling the people, you've turned away, you've messed up, just turn to the Lord, just turn to the Lord, just turn to the Lord. And as we know, they didn't treat Jeremiah very well, and God didn't treat Jeremiah very well, trying to get his point across, but nobody listened. And so the Babylonians, around year 587 before the Common Era, Babylonians came and started taking them off. They took King Zedekiah off into exile. They took the people of Jerusalem off into exile. They destroyed the temple. And the people in exile are starting to cry out. They're like, we lost our king. We lost our temple. We lost our land. We've lost our pride. We've lost our freedom. We've lost our security. God, have we lost you too? Have we sinned so badly that this cannot be saved? And so at that point, God calls Jeremiah again and says, speak to the people. And the Lord says, I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. No longer will there be a law on the stone tablets. No longer will there simply be the law written on the scrolls. I will put it on their hearts. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Again, reminding them, he's never going to give up. He's never going to hide his face. turn his back? Yes, there's consequences. Of course, there's consequences for our actions, but God will not turn away. No longer shall they teach one another and say, know the Lord, for they shall know me. From the least to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Despite our transgressions, despite our iniquities, despite our faults, despite the worst behavior, God has claimed us. God will not forsake us. God will not leave us alone. And when I think about, there's a saying that God's fingerprints are all over us. When he knit us together in our mother's womb, his DNA is within us. And he's saying, I'm going to stamp it on your heart so that you know that I am your God and you are my people. That's the good news, that God will never leave us or forsake us or turn away from us. We're the ones who are hiding from God, or trying to, or pretending we are. But God recognized, as Jeremiah recognized, we can't help ourselves. Somehow we don't know any better. Somehow we can't do better than what we already do. And so we needed that God that we could touch and see and be healed by. And so he sent his son, Jesus. And today in the Gospel of John, we hear Jesus, and he is in the temple area. It's the festival of the Passover, tons of people around, and Jesus knows that he's minutes away from his death. And so this will be his last public speech. And he gets word, it says, two Greek men, which means they were not Hebrew, were not Israelites, were not his people, they were Gentiles. Two people approached Philip and said, we want to speak to Jesus. Philip then went to Andrew. Andrew went to Jesus and said, these two men want to meet you, want to speak with you, want to know you. And what we know is there's a difference between hearing about Jesus or knowing about Jesus and actually knowing Jesus. There is knowing about sin, there is knowing about making mistakes, and then there is knowing we have made a mistake. And that's what this is drawing us closer to. It's not an intellectual, we know, we've heard, we've seen, we've done. This is an invitation to actually know Jesus firsthand, know his healing firsthand, know his power firsthand. And so the people are coming up to him. They want to know him, see him, touch him, hear him. And Jesus says to them, those who want to follow me must serve me. And unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain of wheat. But when it dies and falls into the earth, then look at the produce. Look at all those grains. And he's telling the disciples and the people who are gathered and the people from Greece, the Gentiles, everybody. He's letting them know that it's not just him who needs to fall into the earth to produce the grain. If you want to serve me, you will follow me. You will serve me. You will become like me. And then he tells them, and when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all the earth to me. All people to me. You see, he's offering his last teaching and an invitation. He is headed to the cross so that he might die, so that we might live, so that all our sins are forgiven. So they're all our transgressions, iniquities, mistakes are blotted out, that we are washed clean. And he's offering this invitation, but you have to come and do it with me. So this question, the question this week is, are you willing to follow him? even follow him to the cross. Amen. I invite you into a minute of silence. I invite you to reaffirm your faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed found on page 54 in the Book of Common Prayer or in your booklet. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He sits on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty.
From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation.
Lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, forever and ever. Amen.
O Lord, save thy people and bless thine inheritance.
Forever and lift them up forever.
Day by day we magnify thee.
And we worship thy name ever, world without end.
Vouchsafe, O Lord, to keep us this day without sin.
O Lord, have mercy upon us.
O Lord, let thy mercy be upon us.
As our trust is in thee.
O Lord, in thee have I trusted.
Let me never be confounded.
Almighty God, you alone can bring into order the unruly wills and affections of sinners. Grant your people grace to love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the swift and varied changes of the world, our hearts may surely there be fixed where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O God, you make us glad with the weekly remembrance of the glorious resurrection of thy Son, our Lord. Give us this day such blessing through our worship of thee, that the days to come may be spent in thy favor. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty and everlasting God, by whose spirit the whole body of thy faithful people is governed and sanctified, receive our supplications and prayers, which we offer before thee for all members of thy holy church, that in their vocation and ministry, they may truly and godly serve thee, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God, grant me all blessings from above.
Of the people are on page 329 or in your handout. Let us pray for the whole state of Christ Church and the world. Almighty and ever-living God, who in thy holy word has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all men, receive these our prayers, which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord. And grant that all those who do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops and other ministers, especially Lynn and Gary, that they may, both by their life and doctrine, set forth thy true and lively word and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people, give thy heavenly grace, and especially to this congregation here present, that with meek heart and due reverence, they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. We beseech thee also so to rule the hearts of those who bear the authority of government in this and every land, that they may be led to wise decisions and right actions for the welfare and peace of the world. Open, O Lord, the eyes of all people to behold thy gracious hand in all thy works, that rejoicing in thy holy in the whole creation, they may honor thee with their substance and be faithful stewards of thy bounty. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy holy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succor Kimberly J., Jen and John and family, Don M., Jim L., Ray, Dick, Amanda and Billy, Bob R., Bonnie, Carson, Ann, Laura, Ashlyn, Betty, Bob, Jerry, Julie and Ben, Cheryl, Jean, Nicole, Brian, Cheryl, Eliza, Jane and family, Douglas, Richard, Kathy, Lindsay, Tammy S., John, Muriel, Heather, Andy, Jim and Marietta, Pam, Colleen, Steve, the food pantry, students and teachers, first responders, those suffering from addiction, those in the military, and those who mourn.
And Katie and Parker.
And all those in this transitory life who are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to grant them continual growth in thy love and service, and to grant us grace to follow the good examples of St. James and all thy saints, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant these our prayers, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I invite you to join with me in saying the general thanksgiving found in the Book of Common Prayer on page 101 or in your handout. Almighty God, the Father of all mercies,
we your servants give you
humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness
to all whom you have made. We bless you for your creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all for your immeasurable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ. For the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we pray, give us such an awareness of your mercies that with truly thankful hearts we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days, through Jesus Christ our Lord. To whom with you and the Holy Spirit, the honor and glory throughout all ages.
Amen. I invite you to mute as we sing our closing hymn number 473, Lift High the Cross. Down before the Lord. Look with compassion, O Lord, upon this your people, that rightly observing this holy season, they may learn to know you more fully and to serve you with a more perfect will, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.